Good evening, ladies. We are going to get started this evening, and I'm going to reference our last time that we were together when we were talking quite in depth, actually, on the enemies, on the definition of an enemy. And these enemies, though we're not going to go through them all over again, but these enemies have been around and have become real commonplace for us. So this evening, keeping your enemies in mind, keeping all of those things that I had mentioned the last time are enemies, I want you to think on that as I tell you this story. There was a couple and they were house hunting. They had their real estate agent and he was taking them around to different houses. And they came upon this one house. They were going through each of the rooms. He was going through in great detail. He was going through all the stuff that you would want to know about your house. They get to one of the bathrooms and there's this awful smell. The real estate agent doesn't seem to be bothered by it, but the couple was very bothered by it. And they just asked him, they said, what's that smell? And he said, oh yeah, that. He said, well, he said, we had a dead possum up in the vent, up in the bathroom vent about a week ago. And they said, oh, well, what did you do to get him out? And he said, well, we didn't do anything. He said, he's just there. It's just there. And they said, oh, it's just there. And anyhow, here is what I want to take away from that. Okay. I don't know how to get it out, he said. So it's just there. Keep that in mind because for a lot of us, this is our approach to our enemies. The worry. Well, I don't know how to get it out. It's just there. How about the doubt? Well, I don't know how to get that out. So it's just there. The fear. Well, I don't know how to get that out either, so it's just there. And on and on and on it goes. They've become so much a part of how we live our lives day to day that we don't think about having to evict them. And true story, truth of the story is, as was with this real estate agent, he'd gotten used to the smell. He didn't even smell it anymore. That was commonplace to him. It didn't even send off any alarms for him. But the second someone else came onto the scene, well, hello, they noticed it right away. Well, that is how it is when we let something, when we just let our enemies be there and we don't evict them. We must evict them. We must get them out. We must get them out. Now, I don't know if when you were growing up, you had to hear this all the time, but I titled this particular Bible study, I titled it Don't Slouch. Did you ever hear that growing up? Stand up straight, don't slouch. Sit up straight, don't slouch. And on and on and on it goes. We were constantly being reminded not to do that. Okay. Not to do that. All of a sudden, we're all sitting up a little straighter, aren't we? We're all sitting up a little straighter. Okay. Why is it that we slouch? Because it's more comfortable to do that. It's more comfortable to be in a position that is slouching or not seeing to business, not paying attention. Why do we not want to sit up straight? Because we're going against the gravitational pull of our bodies. Our bodies have to work at that. We are actually going against the gravitational pull. All of that to say this, that's how it's going to be with these enemies. You're going to have to go with the gravitational, you're going to have to go against, rather, the gravitational pull to just leave them there. Just leave them there. Let them, you know, in that's the easy thing to do is to slouch. The easy thing to do is to just leave the stench there of the enemy. Just leave it there and not deal with it. It's not the good thing to do. It's not the good thing to do at all. I have a, excuse me. I have a, one of my granddaughters right now is going through the scoliosis process where you have to be braced, where you have to be braced. And that's a very new thing for her. She was put in her brace, 3 months ago. She has to wear it during the day, but then she has another one and she has to wear it during the night. So she never gets a break. You don't get a break. They're not the most comfortable thing in the whole wide world. They're not the awful thing that they once were, you know, the big metal brace that was, they're not that, but make no mistake about it. This thing's not comfortable. This thing is like wearing body armor. It's molded plastic. It goes against the gravitational pull of her body. It is forcing the issue. It is literally forcing the issue. So it is uncomfortable to be in, but you do the uncomfortable thing so that what? So that you will fix the curvature of the spine so that it will train it to do the right thing. Go the right direction. That's the whole purpose of it. Well, at the end of the 3 months, she was having her checkup and the doctor came back and he showed her the scans. And he said, I would like to show you this. And he put the scan up of the original scan of 3 months prior when she went into the brace. And then he put up the new one. And he said, do you see that? And she could see it. You could visually see the correction beginning to happen. And he said, I want to tell you, young lady, I am so very proud of you. And I can tell that you are wearing that brace. I can tell that you are not being remiss about that. I can tell that you are seeing to business on that. And she said, I do every day and every night. And that is the benefit of doing that. Is it uncomfortable? Does she wish that she could have probably her favorite time of the whole entire day is when she gets to take a shower or a bath because she doesn't have to have that on. If it were me, I can just say, if it were me, I would just stay in there for a long time. I really would, because I would get to do without it. I would get to do without it. And that is the way it is with us spiritually. It is the way it is with us spiritually. Spiritually, we can find ourselves slouching in this area, going with the gravitational pull, which is, you know, entertaining these enemies, letting these enemies have way more of a foothold than we need them to have. And it affects things. It affects our viewpoint on life. We get, whether we realize it or not, we get a little jaded. We get a little negative. We get a little all of those kinds of things, because instead of evicting these enemies, instead of going against the gravitation, we're just letting them be in there like the dead possum. I don't know how to get that out. So I've just left it there. Well, lots of times that's how come we're not doing business with it, is because we don't really know how to get it out, or we don't really know what to do about it. So hopefully we're going to walk away with some things of how to evict them, how to get these enemies out, how to actually get them out of here. And that is what, so that's what we're going to talk about. That is what we're going to talk about. So as I said, this one is called Don't Slouch. This one is just Don't Slouch, because that will stick in your brain. And that you will remember that the second that you start slouching, then you will remember to go ahead and make the spiritual application that says, yeah, what enemy am I potentially entertaining here? What enemy is that? Because slouching comes natural. That comes natural. It absolutely does. I'll tell you something. I have a neighbor lady, and she walks. She is just out there walking and doing that every single day. And she is probably, she's a good 10 years older than I am, but she never misses. She's always out there. She's going for it. And she is known far and wide in the neighborhood because of, you know, she's always out there walking. But if you asked any one of the neighbors, if you asked them about her, okay, they might not be able to necessarily tell you her name. They might not necessarily, because she speaks a different language than we all do. And they might not be able to tell you, how many people live in the home, might not be able to tell you what color her car is that she drives. But I will tell you that there is one thing that absolutely every single person, oh, I know who you mean. The lady that walks so straight, her posture is unbelievable. We live on quite a hill. Okay. I watch people much younger than her, much younger than her. And guess how they're coming up the hill? At a slant. Because why? Because we go with the gravity. We don't go against it. She walks that hill straight as an arrow. That in itself, she's getting in twice as much exercise as any of the rest of us climbing that hill because of how she holds her body, But more importantly, the thing I want you to take away from this is not her really great posture. I want you to take away from this that it's visible. It's apparent. You know, we mentioned last time, we should actually radiate with, we should look like we are Christ followers. We should look like the thing that we profess that we are. We should look like that. That should be coming out of us. How does that come out of us? Well, certainly it is not by entertaining those enemies that we talked about the last time. It's not by letting them stay in your space. It's not by letting them be commonplace. It's like not leaving them there until they have a stench or they have a smell like the dead possum. Okay. It's not like that. It's that we should be doing it differently. We should not be reacting according to the gravitational pull of the world. We should be going against it. We absolutely should. And if we would be seeing to business and be evicting these enemies and not keeping house with them, not entertaining them, not leaving the stinky possum in our space, if we would do that, it would be evident to all. It would be evident, just like my neighbor lady. It's very evident. That is how it should look. That's actually how it should look. So I want you to practice this next week. I gave you quite a list of the enemies last time. I think y'all took pretty good notes. And so I think you're pretty well versed at what they are. I'm in the process of actually making you a list of the definition of those enemies, but I'm not finished with it yet. But you remember pretty much what they are. And so which ones of those need evicted? Which ones of those need evicted on any given day? Use your physical body to be a reminder. When you find yourself slouching, then say to yourself, sit yourself up straight and say to yourself, okay, what enemy have I maybe let sneak in undetected? What enemy might I need to do business with today? Might I need to evict from my life, you know, and certainly from my day? Because, you know, they can come back the next day and they can come back the next day after that. But anyway, this is just a physical way to see to a spiritual problem. And in the process, improve your posture, which will improve your health, which will improve really your body. It will, instead of going with the gravitation, which is to not do things necessarily correct, because it's so comfortable. It's just so comfortable. It's just become the easy thing to do. Fight that gravitational pull. Fight that. Here's the fact. The battle for your life is, as you know it, I have said it over and over and over again, but here it is. That battle for your life is fought and won in the mind. God wants you taking control of your mind, and through the power of His Holy Spirit, you can do that. You can do that. You don't have to muster this up yourself. You don't have to do that. We have been talking about doing this in His strength, in His power. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can. So we want not to get sidetracked and tripped up along the way. We don't want to be giving the enemy a seat at our table, and we don't need to. In Romans 8:6, it says this: for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So the mind that is actually governed by the flesh, controlled by, ruled by — govern means ruled by — that mind that is ruled by the flesh will result in death. But the mind that is ruled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life, and it is peace. It is a mind set on the Spirit. We can have a new mindset with a new way of seeing ourselves and a new way of thinking about life. So we need this mindset that leads to life. And your mindset can be different. Your thoughts can be different. Your life can be different because your mind is set on Christ. Set on Christ. God is with you. He is on your side. And he is the one who has established that beachhead of victory. He's done that for us. He has done that. Okay. The rest, however, is up to you and me. It's up to us. So how does this work in actual life? How does it actually work? The way you go about stopping the enemy from sitting at your table is by winning the battle for your mind. And winning the battle for your mind is replacing those old, harmful thoughts with new life-giving thoughts. The thinking of these new thoughts will result in doing new things. Changed behavior. Your victory will begin in your mind. And one of the big ways to gain this victory in your mind is to avoid think less about the devil or the evil that you're trying to avoid, and to think more about God and the truth that you're trying to embrace. More about the truth that you're trying to embrace. So many tools at our disposal, and we have talked about some. This next one that we'll be talking about is memorizing scripture, getting it in you, okay? Imagine your mind as a garden. So seeds can float in on the wind. They can. Or they can be dropped by birds. They can be scattered in your garden by any number of things. But you, as the gardener, are responsible for what is going to grow there. You are responsible for what is going to grow there. You have the power to water the good seeds and to cultivate the good seeds, to pull out any weeds that will try to keep your good seeds from growing. That's on you. That's on you, the gardener. A few years ago, Pastor Jim was working up at the college, he was actually working in groundskeeping. And so he had to go around and do irrigation. And he would sometimes have to do that in the evenings. And so we would go on what we would call an irrigation date. And he'd have his little cart, you know, and I'd walk down there and I'd hop in that little cart with him and away we would go. And what he'd have to do is reset sprinklers, make sure that everything was positioned and doing what it needed to be doing. And he was busy doing that. And I remember this particular evening, I said, "What is that over there?" I said, "Does that not, here was this kind of fenced off area." And I said, "Does that not belong to the college?" You know, because everything else groomed to the max. It was beautiful. And then here was this fenced in area that was just this big mess. And he goes, and he started to chuckle and he goes, "Oh no, it's ours." And I said, "Well, do tell, because I know there's a story behind that." And he said, "Yes, it's the science department's." And I said, "Oh." And he said, "Yes." So he said, "So it's a garden." I said, "No, it's a weed patch." And he said, "Yes, I know it is." But he said, "It's all natural." And what they're proving or trying to prove is that if you just leave things alone, and then you will, it's the better way to go. They were, you know, showing that don't do anything to it. Just let it be. Just let it be. And I said, yeah, how's that working for him? And he said, well, he said, there's little or no fruit on anything because it's completely being choked out by the weeds. It was a literal virtual mess in there. It really was. That is what happens if you leave things unattended. Well, if we leave things unattended, if we just continue to leave these enemies in our space and we don't do anything about them because they've just become so much a part of the way we do business, or we don't know what to do about them, then unfortunately, we begin to look very much like that weed patch. We look like that weed patch. And if there's any fruit at all, which there's supposed to, we're supposed to be bearing fruit, good fruit, by the way, when we are connected and rightly related to Christ, we should be bearing fruit. And it should be good fruit, visible fruit, helpful fruit. It should be like that, right? Well, it shouldn't look overcome like a weed patch. But this is what's going to happen, because one enemy scoots into another enemy, scoots into another enemy, scoots into another enemy. If you leave them unattended and you do not evict them, it is time to evict them. Get them out of your space. Remove them. Get them out of there. Wrap your mind and your thoughts around scripture. You can take control of what you think about. You can deliberately plant good seeds, thoughts of God in your mind. And as these thoughts take root and grow, they will help you remove the destructive weeds that the enemy is trying to plant in your mind. Because that's how it goes. That's how it goes. So back at this garden of our mind, okay, what it looks like is entirely up to you and I. It's entirely up to us, all right? God is the creator of your mind, but you're the head gardener. You're the head gardener. He's not going to get in there with a plow. And he's not going to get in there, and he's not going to do anything that goes against your will. He's not going to do that. That's not how this works. Although sometimes I wish it did a little, but anyway, suffice it to say, not how it's going to work. It's our responsibility to choose, excuse me, got a frog in my throat, to choose what stays and what goes. That's on us. We're choosing what stays and what goes. Are you going to keep the dead possum in the vent, or are you going to evict him? You're going to get him out of there. You're going to find a way to get him out of there. I can only imagine that couple. Like, they're like, dude, we'd never buy this house because you don't even like no and no on that. Okay. So we are gardens. Our minds can be shaped by beautiful thoughts, like flowers that are sown and nurtured, like big and by powerful truths that stand strong, like gorgeous trees. Think of the things in nature that just make your heart happy. Just makes your heart happy when you're out there enjoying the trees and the plants and the flowers and all of those things. That's what happens in the garden of our minds when they are deeply rooted in his word, or your mind can be a place of compromise where those weedy lies and thorns are permitted to take root, and then they will create a toxic environment and they will choke out the good stuff. They will choke out all of the good stuff. They will actually choke out the sunlight. And that is a play on words because, yes, they will choke in a physical sense. They choke out S-U-N, light. But in a spiritual sense, they're going to choke out S-O-N. They're going to choke out his light. That's whose light they're going to choke out. So this is a war, friends. And only when you will saturate your mind with God's truth, not a trickle. God's word needs to run through your spiritual veins so that it can help counterattack and demolish Satan's primary weapons, his lies. God's word living in you is your most secret power. It's like your secret power. I have grandkids that you have a son that is into this, the superpower, the secret power, those kinds of things. You know, they're fascinated by that. They're fascinated by that. So should we be. Not in a fictional character, but so should we be. Because guess what? We all have a superpower. We all have a superpower. And it is the Holy Spirit that is in residence. If we acknowledge Christ and have acknowledged him as our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit. That is a power unfathomable. Okay, when is the last time you have thought about that power? That power raised Jesus from the dead. Who else got that kind of thing going on? No one has that kind of thing going on. That we have at our disposal. But I am here to tell you, it is a sad situation, state of affairs that we find ourselves in, because we are going with the gravitational pull. We are going with the easy way, the way the world does it. We're going with that. And we are trickling in a few good things, a few God things, but we're letting things be resident in us. We're letting some of those enemies be resident. It's time. They got to go. They need to be evicted. So again, I say, I'm back to the title of this one. Don't slouch. It's time to quit giving in to the gravity. Okay. In a physical sense, but certainly in a more spiritual sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. Time to do that. So past time to do that. In the National Science Foundation has released this study. Part of this is no shock to you whatsoever. A little bit of it will be news. But you already know this. The average person has between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. You already know it. We've discussed it a lot in the last year or so. All right. So that's how many thoughts per day. Here we go with some statistics that are a little less known. Of those 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts that you will have in the course of a day, 80% of them are negative. That blew my mind. I was blown away by that, and not in a good way. Okay. I did not realize it was that high. Now there is this part. All of those negative thoughts are not destructive thoughts. Some of those negative thoughts serve a purpose because they are things that would warn of impending danger. They are that, you know, some of them exist for that. So they're not all destructive thoughts, but most of them are. 80%. I hope you're hearing that. That is not good percentage here. Okay. And of those thoughts, 95% of the 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts that you have in a day, 95% of them are repetitive. 95% of them are repetitive, means you have them more than once. You know, feel like a little hamster running around on a wheel about now, because that's really kind of how it's going, right? A little bit like that. Our minds, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, repetitive thoughts. So in other words, the simple math is 4 out of 5 thoughts that you have are negative. 4 out of 5, that's a no. And almost all of those thoughts are repeated time and time and time and time and time and time again. Almost all of them. So in other words, we have more negative thoughts than we have positive thoughts going on. It is so time to tip the scales in our favor. It is so time to do that. It is time to do that. Giving into this negative thinking is so easy. It's so easy. We are bombarded by the negative news all day long. All day long. We're around people who have negative thoughts 80% of the time. You know why? Because they're like you and me. So, you know, sometimes we say, I just don't really care to be around that person because they're so negative. Well, of course they're negative. 80% of them is negative. You know, 80% of me is negative. Not that I like that. Not that I like that, but that's a reality check. There's a little reality check there. Okay. We're around people who have these negative thoughts. We can be related to people who are constantly bringing up past mistakes or failures on a regular basis because the negative thought is repeating and they're stuck in a loop. So every single time, what are you going to hear about again and again and again? All right. The thinking's got to change. Simply put, the thinking must change. It must change. Okay. We must replace the negative with the positive. We must replace the negative with the positive. And that is possible. That is possible because why? Why is it possible? Because 95% of those thoughts are repeating thoughts. So you can tip the scales by repeating what? By repeating the word, by repeating God's stuff, by repeating his take on things. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And this is the mindset we need to have. This is the thought that should be repetitive in our minds. We can do this because the strength we have is in Christ. It's not in us, for heaven's sakes, or we know how that's going to go. Well, we do know how that's going to go. This can-do mindset that we need to have gives us the strength to overcome our weaknesses and our struggles, whatever our challenges might be. This mindset is positive, and it means that we believe that the power of God in us, is greater than anything we face. It is greater than anything that we face. It means that we'll have the mindset that says, I have the strength to face any situation, whatever this situation is, whatever difficulties seem to be impossible to handle. If our mindset is one of faith and knowing that we can do what needs to be done in God's strength, you will evict and disrupt these enemies. Changing to the can-do mindset will lead you to a place of peace and love and joy and gratitude and awe and growth, for heaven's sakes. When our thoughts change, guess what? Our words change. Our words change. When our words change, guess what happens? Our actions change. And then we can be on the path to becoming who God created us to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. He didn't create you to be the negative Neds and Nellies of the world. It's not how he made it to be. We're just repeating the wrong things. We're just repeating the wrong things. We get stuck. We get stuck. Okay. And though we are going to go further into this very subject of scripture memorization, the next time that we get together and meet, I want to talk to you about something that is quicker, shorter, and more immediately life-changing. Something that will interrupt the hamster wheel. The hamster wheel being your mind that's going boom, 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 around and around and around in a negative way. And it's spinning out of control. Something that will do that. And it is simply called this. It's called breath prayers. Okay. Here's what a breath prayer is. It is a short one sentence prayer. Secondly, it is rooted in scripture. It is scripture. This isn't you asking God for what you need. This is scripture, okay? It is thirdly repeated several times for the purpose of meditating on God's word by actively processing the words and reflecting on them. Because they're not big and they're not long and they are short and they are sweet. And you say them again and again until that's what you're meditating on, until that's what you're repeating, until that's what you're doing. And you are stopping that vicious hamster wheel going around and around and around in your head. The next thing that they are is they are mindful. In other words, they focus on the mind of Christ and filling your mind with his word. They focus your mind on Christ and they fill your mind with his word. Not room for something else. Only room for that. Only room for that. To be repeated and to be repeated and to be repeated. The last thing that they are is they are directed upward to God. They are not they're not directed, they are directed toward God. This is upward to God. These breath prayers. This is how this will go. It will open a door to a deeper connection with your God, the God who made you, the God who loves you, the one who rescues you, the one who redeems you, the one who is with you always, no matter what you are feeling, whatever state you may be in, that God. That's what these will do. Okay? That's what these will do. Now, Here are some examples. I'm going to give you some examples and I'm going to tell you how it works. Okay. If you are having a high anxiety or difficult day and you find yourself overwhelmed, this is Psalm 23. And here's how a breath prayer goes. You inhale, and as you are inhaling, you are saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's all coming in on the inhale. And this is your exhale. I have all I need. Inhale, the Lord is my shepherd. Exhale, I have all that I need. If you have burdens that you need to give to God, inhale, I give my burden to you. Exhale, you will take care of me. That's Philippians 4:6. If you need to surrender worries to God, your worries to God, inhale, I give you my worries and cares. Exhale, for you care for me. It's 1 Peter 5:7. If you are in pain, if you are suffering, inhale. You made me and sustain me. Exhale. You carry me all of my days. Isaiah 46. If you find yourself in a fierce storm of life, inhale, guard my heart and mind. Exhale, with your indescribable peace. Philippians 4:7. If you are uncertain, if you are fearful, if your anxious heart is making your heart beat way too fast, inhale. You still the storms to a whisper. Exhale. You hush the waves of the sea. Psalm 107, verses 28 and 29. If you are feeling like you're failing, if your problems and your afflictions just keep coming, it won't stop God from loving you. But what you need to do is inhale. Nothing can separate me. Exhale from your love. Romans 8, 38 and 39. So you get the picture. You can make them yourself. You can make your own. You just are using a scripture, a short bit of the scripture. Not that memorizing the whole thing wouldn't be fruitful, but remember what you're trying to stop here. You're trying to stop the rapid heart from racing. You're trying to stop the burden that's overtaking you. You're trying to stop something. You're trying to get it stopped. And this is quick, and this is effective, and this is the thing that you will repeat and repeat and repeat. You're training your mind to repeat the thing that needs to be repeated. I was having a sleepless night the other night, and so I made my own breath prayer, and it went like this. Now I gotta see if I can find it. Okay, so inhale. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. Exhale, for you alone, O Lord, keep me safe. Psalms 4:8. And after I just kept repeating that, and I just kept saying that, because it's in this repeating, you're not repeating just words. When you stop and you take a minute and you do this inhaling thing, you are physically doing something that actually makes your mind and your body start to cooperate and pay attention to the very thing that you are thinking and saying. Okay, there is a big physical connection on that, in that way. So the inhaling thing, inhaling the first bit of God's word, exhaling the second bit of God's word, you're serving notice that you are stopping every single thing that is racing around you, except for that. It is powerful. It is powerful. I don't know how many of those I did before the next thing I woke up to was morning, but it will work. It will stop. It will intercept. It will give you a practical way to do it. These aren't meant to replace your prayer time. These are not that. These are the practical thing that you do to interrupt the negative repeating thoughts that are going around in your head. This isn't intercessory prayer. This isn't any of those kinds of things. And I am not negating any of those things. All of those things have their place, and they are absolutely and extremely powerful. However, this is his word. And this is the very practical and very purposeful step that you can return your mind and your breathing and everything in you back to that amazing, indescribable peace of God. Though the situation may not be rectified, you will have peace in it. Though it may not necessarily be gone, it's okay. You can lay your head to the pillow and you can get up the next morning knowing that he's got it. This is where it comes from. It comes from being able to intercept and to evict those enemies of your mind. Satan wants nothing more than to keep you on that hamster wheel. He wants them rolling around and around and around. And if that weren't enough, it gets worse. He wants you to think it's okay. He wants you to think it's commonplace. He wants you to be deceived by the fact that there's a possum, a dead possum, living up there. And it stinks, okay? But it doesn't stink to you anymore because it's become common. It didn't stink to the real estate agent anymore. Out of sight, out of mind, okay? But trust me, that couple didn't buy that house. No way. No way. There is something you can do about that endless cycle. First, realize that you're on one. First, realize that you're on one, because sadly, that many thoughts and that many repetitive thoughts, you're just going with the gravitational flow. We're just kind of slouching our way through life, and we're just doing the best we can, but we're doing that in our strength. And we're not doing that in his. And it is not the way he designed it. It is not the way he designed it. Oh, that's just the way I am. No, it is not the way. It may be the way you currently are in this moment, but that's not the story that God created for your life. That's not what he created. He created you to be more and to do it differently. And he created you not to go with the gravitational pull. He created you not to go with that. Let's pray. Father, a very simple but profound concept. Father, I pray that each of us is able to stop that hamster wheel in our minds from going on the track that it does not belong. And God, that we will indeed stop it with those short scripture breath prayers, Lord, that can intercept, that can evict the enemy of our minds and our souls, Lord, that we can evict him and we can get him out of our head. Father, I pray that we would begin to incorporate this into our lives. Precious Jesus, a very simple, doable, yet will make a profound and lasting change. We thank you. We know that you will be right there with us, right there with us, for we can do this. We can do all things in your strength, in your strength. Precious Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we love you so very, very much. In your very precious name, we pray. Amen.